In January 2007, in the peak of the early morning commuter rush, a young man entered a train station in Washington, D.C. He found a place way out of the way of the foot traffic, and he took out his violin, and he began playing. This was no ordinary street musician. It was Joshua Bell, star of the symphony circuit. Only 3 days earlier, audiences had paid more than $200 for a ticket to watch him play at Boston's Symphony Hall. But now, as he stood just a few feet from the clueless commuters hurrying to work, Bell played his heart out on his multi-million dollar violin. Can you guess what happened? Did busy commuters suddenly stop in their tracks, mesmerized by this master violinist, and did they drift toward the magical music? For the first 3 minutes of Bell's concert, no one acknowledged the music or the musician. Everyone hurried by, so focused on their next destination. At 4 minutes, a woman tossed a dollar bill into Bell's violin case. Finally, after 6 minutes, one commuter stopped, leaned against the wall, and listened to the gift that was being poured out through the train station air. Bell played for 43 minutes. He made a grand total of $32 off 27 donations, and get this, two people stopped to listen. The other people who passed in front of him simply walked by, oblivious, obsessed by their own agendas, by their own hurried pace. Someone writing about this experience said this, read it with me. If we can't take the time out of our lives to stay a moment and listen to one of the best musicians on earth play some of the best music ever written, if the surge of modern life so overpowers us that we are deaf and blind to something like that, then what else are we missing? Then what else are we missing? Do you ever wonder that? What else are we missing? Could it be that the what else is life itself? Are you ever so busy that you miss out on life? The truth is, I am not the best person to talk to you about this at all. I'm always thinking about what's next, so much so that I'm not focusing necessarily on what's happening in the moment. Have you ever been so focused on what's happening next or what you need to do next that you miss the present moment? I mean, you're laying in bed at night and you know this event happened, but the truth is you can barely remember experiencing it? It's really easy for that to happen, isn't it? God has blessed us with so much each day for which we can give thanks, but we have to pause in order to recognize God's great gifts, in order to have that spirit of gratitude. Which brings us to today's scripture story of the 10 lepers. And it highlights the need for us to take time to see blessings, to take time to express gratitude. As Jesus enters a village, he hears 10 lepers yelling to him, begging him for help. Leprosy, it's a terrible disease. It attacks the skin and the flesh and the nerves, causing people to lose fingers and toes and become disfigured. In biblical days, people thought leprosy had to have been a result of the person's sin, and they were afraid of catching leprosy from those who had it, so people who had leprosy were banished from the city. They were not only sick, they were not only in pain, but they were banished away from their families and community. And in fact, if they came anywhere near town, they had to yell out, "Unclean, unclean," so no one would get near them. But Jesus doesn't distance himself from people who are left out. Jesus doesn't distance himself from the people others are afraid of. Jesus told the lepers to go and show themselves to the priests. And so the lepers went and did just that. And as they were on the way to the priest, you remember what happened in the scripture story. Suddenly they realized that they were healed from their terrible disease and from their outcast status. They were thrilled, scripture tells us. They were so grateful that immediately, all 10 of them immediately stopped, turned around, and ran to give thanks to Jesus. Right? Not exactly. Only one returned. A Samaritan. One of the people who that day were considered outcasts. Only one returned to give thanks. The other nine went on their way. Those nine lepers who were healed and they continued on their way, they were pretty ungrateful, weren't they? I mean, did they expect Jesus to just heal them and not express thanks, not express gratitude for the gift they had just received? What ungrateful, ungodly people, right? Or were these nine lepers who didn't go back to express thanks pretty human? Pretty much like you and me. And were these nine lepers actually people pretty filled with faith? Think about this. They knew that they had a need, and they took the risk to call out to Jesus to help them. They believed Jesus would help them. They were people of faith. And no doubt they had to be surprised by Jesus' command. Jesus didn't heal them right there on the spot. Jesus told them to go and present themselves to the priests who would declare them clean. But they weren't yet cured, and yet they believed Jesus, and they did what Jesus told them to do. They obeyed Jesus without first having proof of his promise. Would we have had the faith that those lepers had? Their story, as you know, it has a very happy ending, but their story is also incomplete. If they ever encounter their companion again, the one who left them to go back to give Jesus thanks, he can tell them that they missed out on the blessing that comes in offering thanks. He can tell them that though their bodies are cured, their spirits can fully thrive only through praise and worship and gratitude. The other nine lepers, they were healed just like this man, but scripture tells us that this man, in addition to being healed, was made well. This man was healed physically, but he was also healed spiritually and emotionally. You see, that's what happens when we take time to give thanks. Giving thanks, showing gratitude, it's crucial to the health and well-being of our spirits. Well, what about us? Just as Jesus healed and freed these 10 lepers, hasn't Jesus also healed and freed us? He's given us the gift of forgiveness and the opportunity to be freed from all the powers of sin and death in our lives and in our world. He's given us the assurance that all of us, every single one of us, belong to God and every one of us is beloved in God's sight. He's given us the promise that we are never alone, that God is always with us. In this church, we remember this, "Lo, I am with you always." He has given us the companionship of one another in our life journey. He's given us the gift of life, of health, of possibility every single moment. And he has given us the ability to create, the power to make the world better, and the resources to do everything that God is calling us to do. So what will you do? What will I do? Will we be like the nine lepers, simply accept, maybe even expect all the blessings that God gives us on our way? Or will we be like the one who stopped and went back and gave thanks and in return found his spirit blessed and made well. Having grateful hearts, living in a spirit of praise and gratitude toward God, it deeply impacts our spiritual health. It deeply impacts our emotional well-being. In 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul puts it this way. Read with me. Give thanks in all circumstances. Notice that, can you turn that back? Notice that Paul says give thanks in all circumstances. He doesn't say to give thanks for all circumstances. We don't have to give thanks for cancers, for heart attacks, for death of loved ones, for losses of job, for political unrest, for injustices, for financial problems, for prejudice, for relational pains, for terrible accidents. We're not called to give thanks for, but we are called to give thanks in all circumstances. We can give thanks because the God who created us loves us and is with us and will give us the strength to see us through. And God can and God will use the circumstances we are in, no matter how challenging, to somehow bring about good if we allow God to do that with us. Are you in a trying time right now? If so, then be like the lepers in today's scripture reading. Call out to Jesus, ask for help, and then take action in faith for healing. And then like that one leper, stop to give thanks as you experience glimpses of God's love and healing presence along the way. Perhaps you're in a smooth time of life right now. If so, be intentionally aware of the transcendently beautiful moments and actions all around you. Don't take it for granted. Give thanks. One final story. The decade of the 1660s in England was filled with disaster. The plague in 1665 made its way through the city of London, leaving 70,000 dead. 70,000. A year later, a fire destroyed much of that city. Some predicted that London and England simply would never recover. But during all of this, Bishop Thomas Ken kept encouraging people that he could still see the light of hope, the light of God's purpose and presence. He felt inspired one night to write a song to testify to his conviction that God was still sovereign, that God was still present, and God was still worthy of praise. Did you know the church still sings that song today? These are the words he wrote. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Friends, did you know that that song was written in desperate times? And that song of praise and gratitude filled souls with hope and possibility, so much so that we sing it today and we know it today. Beloved ones in Christ, each and every day as we deal with our challenges and difficulties, our joys and successes and celebrations. And this week, as we reflect on the blessings around our Thanksgiving table, or at least as we have full stomachs, in it all, let's offer God our thanks and praise, remembering that it is indeed from God all blessings flow. And when we remember that, when we pause and give thanks, Then we find spiritual healing and wholeness.